It does get by in a hurry. I'm telling you, it really does. But little did we know, we were renting a little clubhouse building, trying to get a church started in there. And Brother Brent and his brother were just young fellows wanting to do something for Jesus. And we never would have thought 25 years ago that God would let us travel the world telling people about Jesus. Just amazing. It's just amazing. All the places we've been just because we know the Lord and getting to see people saved there. If you think of it this evening, one of our missionaries we support, his name is John Sarah. His wife went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday, Wednesday of last week. And John, his wife, he just lived a hard, hard life way, way out in the world, way out in the world. And they got saved. They didn't have much time left. He had hepatitis from drug use, and his liver was gone. They told him he wouldn't live long. She had diabetes. They went to Zambia well up in years, and I don't mean, you know, 60, 70, but they were mature, grown. Their children were grown, and in less than 20 years there, they have started 310 churches. And, I mean, train somebody and put somebody in place as a pastor and go on to the next village and put somebody in place as a pastor, go on to the next village. And just amazing. And the pictures today they sent and videos of her funeral, all these ladies taking turns carrying her casket out to that little grave site there in Africa and singing hymns with tears running down their face. All those people would have never known Jesus had somebody not gone to the ends of the earth. And so what a blessing. I tell you, one life be over quick. Brother Rick Baker, he preaches a sermon about the date of birth and the date of death. He said, there's nothing in between it but just a little dash. That's really it, man. It goes quick. It goes quick. So you'll do something for the Lord, you better get it done. And if you're not going to do something for the Lord, why not? What else are you going to do with your life? Just it's a vapor, just gone. Here and then it's gone. So hope you're doing something for Jesus. Had some real good, funny stories I was going to tell you, but Jonathan Brown's stolen all of them. And, he takes them and rips them off and tells you so that don't have too many left, but I got a couple in here somewhere. Turn to Matthew 17. We'll get to the message here in just a minute. Did you tell them about Ed and Norma going to the fair? You didn't tell them about? Okay, good. I got a couple I can use. Ed and his wife Norma went to the state fair every year. And every year Ed would say to Norma, I sure would like to ride that helicopter. Norma said, Ed, it costs $50. And $50 is $50. Every year, same thing. One year they went to that fair and Ed was about 75 years old. He said, Norma, I'm not going to live long. If I don't ride that helicopter this year, I may never get to ride in a helicopter. And she said, Ed, you know, $50 is $50. Well, the man that ran the helicopter overheard him. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you up for a ride. And if neither of you says a word, I won't charge you. But if you talk, we get down, you're going to pay me $50. Well, they went up there. That pilot did every trick he knew. He tipped that thing to the right. He tipped to the left. He ran, it seemed like straight up, then straight down. One time they think he did a whole loop, and nobody knows, but he tried every trick he could. Not a sound. Not a sound. He landed that thing. He turned to Ed. He said, I'm impressed. I did everything I knew to do, and you never said a word. He said, well, I almost said something when Norma fell out. but $50 is $50. All right. Matthew 17. I want to talk to you tonight about mountaintop experiences. If you've heard this sermon, it used to be you could preach a sermon at home, and if the Lord really blessed it, you just take it and just go everywhere and preach that sermon. Now they get this thing called the internet. How many of you heard the internet? And so you preach something Sunday morning, you get to church Monday night, and half the congregation's heard it. And you just, man, you can't come up with something new every time. Jealous of singers. They get five songs, they go to every church and sing them songs again. I want to hear you sing that. We were back. I'll get to this. I promise. I'll get to this in a second. I got to get over the nerves. That airplane, man, those things scare me. How in the world that thing stays in the air? That makes no sense. Anyway, back when Brent was a young man, and we used to go to these fellowship meetings, and we were sitting, it wasn't Brent, because he'd never ask a question like this. But those young fellows sitting around the table, and they said, why is it, all these young preacher boys, you know, is why is it when those singers get up to sing, everybody shouts and hollers and waves their handkerchiefs and gets all excited, and the preachers get up to preach, and they just sit there? I said, because the singers practice. They work at it. The preacher just gets up and hopes God will get in it, you know. All right, that might have offended somebody, but that's what I do best. Matthew 17. I want to talk to you about mountaintop experiences. I've had 3 or 4 in my life. I hope you've had some. Sometimes when you're just as close to God as you think you can stand. Sometimes when you're praying and you're afraid to open your eyes, you think you see God's feet right there in front of you. Maybe you've been on a mission trip or something and just the greatest days of your life. Do you know what I've found in my life, and I know you've found this true in your life? They don't last. They don't last. I used to think when I was a young Christian, if I could just get in a revival meeting and get as excited as a man could be, and I've had that happen. And I used to think if I could preach this great sermon and people come and just fill the altar and people get saved, and I've seen that happen. But I'm telling you, the next day, it's like nothing happened. It's amazing how that is. Your church does mission trips. Ours, praise the Lord, we just finished our 6th mission trip for the year. It's a blessing. And people come back from those mission trips, and they line up on the platform to give their testimonies, and they cry, and they sniffle, and say, "Man, praise God, my life's changed. I'll never be the same." About a week, you'll be exactly the same. Because the kids will get sick, and you'll have to go back to work, and something will break down at the house, and it's just how it is. You can't live up on that mountaintop, but here's the sad thing. Being up on that mountaintop, whatever happens up there, when you get back down, it really seems like everything's just what it was. I want to talk to you tonight about the greatest mountaintop experience in all the Bible, and what resulted from that mountaintop experience, and that'll all be the introduction. I've only got about a 10-minute sermon tonight, but it takes a long time to get to it. So we'll get there, and we'll see what the Bible says. Let's pray together. Father, help me tonight to tell the truth in the way that you'd have it told. Help us, Lord, to receive from your word what we surely need. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 17, verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. That in itself would be incredible, to walk with Jesus Christ, to be selected out of all of humanity to be one of his disciples, and then to be selected out of his disciples to be one of the 3 that went up with him onto a mountain. Pretty amazing. Look, a private session up there. And verse 2, was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Jesus Christ, here's what we know from the Bible. He was God manifest in the flesh. For 33.5 years, his manifestation was the flesh. You understand? He had no halo. He had no aura or glow about him. Everybody didn't wear a brown robe, and he had a white one with a blue sash. He looked like everybody else. He looked like a man. When you saw him, you saw the manifestation of a human flesh body. But one time in the life of Jesus Christ, that veil was pulled back, and the glory of God was seen on display on this earth. It only happened once. It only happened for a short time. These 3 men were there when it happened. That's pretty amazing. The Bible says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. That's pretty cool. You probably wonder how they knew it was Moses and Elijah, since Moses had been gone for 1,000 years and more, and Elijah had been gone for 700 years. When they came in, they got these little blue stickers and put them on their robes. Hello, my name is Moses. And that's just great way to greet people. Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter, good old Peter. Good old Peter. Said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Why, Peter? Moses the lawgiver is there, and Elijah the prophet is there, and Jesus is there, not as a carpenter, not as a prophet, in his glory as God. And Peter says, and me? Look over here. Me, I'm here. And what you like about Peter, he's like so many of us. Look at verse 3. There appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. So Moses is talking and Elijah's talking, and they're talking with Jesus. Then answered Peter. Peter, nobody said anything to you. Moses and Elijah talked to Jesus, and Peter says, well, let me weigh in on that. The lawgiver, the prophet, and the Messiah are there, but Peter wants you to know what he knows. All right, let's watch. Let us make, if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. That would not be objectionable to the liberal, because Jesus is just one more great guy. That would not be objectionable to the Mohammedan. Jesus is just one more in the line of prophets. But it would be objectionable to God the Father, because it displays a lack of understanding as to who's really important on the top of this mountain here. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, good move, and were sore afraid. Who can blame them? And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Which the Lord usually says that in times when it's impossible to not be afraid. He's walking on the water in the middle of a hurricane. Be not afraid. They're hiding in an upper room. He walks through the wall. Be not afraid. He's got a real sense of humor. Now, you want a mountaintop experience? These three guys see Moses alive after Michael, the archangel, and Satan fought over his body after the Lord buried him. And there's Moses. And there's Elijah, the prophet, that was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, shining as the sun, and his raiment white as the light. And they hear the voice of God the Father speaking from heaven. That's probably the greatest single wow that anybody's ever experienced in anybody's lifetime. It's incredible. Verse number 8, and when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Skip down to verse number 14. And they were come to the multitude that came to him, a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. He's possessed with the devil. Lunatic. The New King James Version changes that word lunatic to epileptic. Not only is that wrong, it's insulting to everyone with that medical condition. Who would do a thing like that? And so, Lord, he's lunatic, he's sore vexed. Oftentimes he falleth into the fire, oft into the water. And I brought in thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. And Jesus rebuked the devil in verse 18 and healed him. 19, then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Now look what happens here. These men have this incredible mountaintop experience. They see the Son of God in his glory, and they hear the voice of God speaking from heaven, and it does not help them spiritually, it does not help them intellectually, and it does not help them as far as their faith is concerned. It does nothing to profit them whatsoever. So what's your proof of that? Well, Exhibit A. Peter says, to the Lord shining like the sun, it's a good thing I'm here. Jesus says, Moses is not glowing. Elijah is not radiating the glory of God. Jesus Christ is shining in a way that would knock Saul of Tarsus' eyes out of his head. And Peter says, let me get to work right away building three tabernacles. What he sees with his eyes does not humble him. What he hears with his ears does not give him any understanding as to what's going on that mountain. Do you know you can come to church and hear a great choir sing a great song about Jesus Christ? And you can take up a songbook and sing some of the greatest hymns that have ever been written. And you can hear someone sing a special number about the resurrected Lord of glory. And then you can hear a preacher preach from the Bible, the Word of God. And while all that's going on, you can be sitting there saying, you know, I could sing better than that. I don't know why they let her sing that special. She misses three or four notes every time she sings, and they haven't asked me to sing in months. I'm going to talk to somebody about that. Peter's looking at Jesus Christ in his glory, and he's thinking about, you know, I could build a tabernacle. It's a good thing I'm here. You know, that brother, he preached last night, and, you know, everybody telling him what a good sermon that was last night and everything else. I don't know why they didn't ask me to preach. I could preach. You understand, I'm not talking about at work with cussing going on. I'm not talking about walking down the street with all kinds of crazy things happening around you. I'm talking about sitting in church with the Word of God being proclaimed. It's hard for us to get off of us. Peter, on a mountaintop experience, to beat all mountaintop experiences, his thoughts are of himself. Then God the Father says, now listen, boys. Moses had his day as the lawgiver, and Elijah had his day as the prophet, but this is my beloved son, and I want you to hear him. Isn't that what he said? Not Moses, not Elijah, my son. And they're walking down off the mountain after hearing God speak audibly and say, not Moses, not Elijah, my son. And Peter, James, and John say, well, what about Elijah? Shouldn't Elijah come first? Wait a minute. God the Father just told you, not Moses, not Elijah, my son. And 30 minutes later, they say to Jesus, shouldn't Elijah come first? Well, I just wish God would speak to me in an audible voice where I could hear him. You wouldn't hear him if you heard him. You wouldn't get what he said if he said it. You understand? We want some supernatural, wow thing that's never happened to anybody but me. Something happened to these men that had never happened to anybody but them. God the Father spoke. I mean, really spoke. Not like people think God spoke to them when they want to sin. I mean, this is the real voice of the real God. And they heard exactly what he said. Not Moses, not Elijah, my son Jesus. And they couldn't keep Jesus first for an hour with him standing there. They're walking down off that mountain and they say to Jesus, can we talk about Elijah's future ministry? Wouldn't you think they'd be coming down off that mountain saying, can we just touch your garment? Could I put my hand on your shoulder just for a minute? I'm sorry, all these years I've been following you, and I really never understood until this moment how superior you were to all who came before you. It went right by them like it never happened. Isn't that amazing? You know, somebody come in and preach about, missions and people can write checks and come to an altar and pray and sacrifice and surrender their lives, and other people can sit right through the whole thing saying, how long is this going to last? I can't. Another speaker, another slideshow. I'm like, oh. You know, you can hear it and not hear it. You can see it and not see it. The third exhibit I would present to you is, as soon as they got down off that mountain, they didn't go knocking on doors looking for somebody that was lost. They didn't go to a corner with gospel tracts hoping to find somebody that would read one. They didn't stand on a corner preaching hoping somebody today will stop for the first time in a month. A man came to them and said, my son's full of the devil, would you please help him? And after seeing Jesus in his glory, they couldn't help him. And after hearing the voice of God speak from heaven, they couldn't help him. And after the incident ran its course, Jesus said to them, the reason you couldn't help that man is because of your unbelief. Now listen tonight, please. If you could see Jesus Christ with your eyes, not Jesus working miracles, not Jesus teaching the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus with the veil of his flesh pulled back and his glory shining, it wouldn't create faith in your heart. If I could just hear God's voice, they heard God's voice. And the first person they met when they came down off the mountain said, please help me. And they couldn't help him because they had no faith. I hope you have some mountaintop experiences in your life. But don't think it's going to change anything. It will be a notable day in your life for you to talk about when you get together with other Christians somewhere down the road. But you'll still be struggling with whatever you struggle with. You'll still be praying about whatever you pray about. It's not going to change things. Then they come down. You know why you pay taxes? Because you have to. That's why you pay taxes. Because the stronger person says to the weaker person, you are going to pay. Right? If you were strong enough, you would say to that person, no, I'm not. Right? So the tax man comes to Peter and says, does your master pay tribute or not? And Peter says, oh, yes, yes, he does. Let me ask you something. Couldn't there be some confusion about who's greater, the high priest with the temple tribute money or Herod with the Roman government tax or the Lord of glory? Who is superior to Moses and Elijah? Now, all of you know who's the in this scene, high priest, Herod, Peter, James, John, Moses, Elijah, just pick one, and Jesus. Who's number one? We all know that. They didn't know that. They came off that mountain, and Peter could have said, are you kidding? You came to get $20 from the Lord of glory? You think he owes you something? Are you kidding? But what Peter saw with his eyes and what Peter heard with his ears did not register in his understanding. It didn't help him. That's interesting to me. I hope it is to you. If not, we got two more nights. We'll keep trying. Mark chapter number 9. Let's go there. Mark chapter number 9, same event, but given some different information here, additional information. And I'm glad of that. Mark 9, verse number 1. Verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. You know why God gave you Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? They're not contradictory. They're supplementary. Try to go back in your mind to the way, way back into the dark ages before the internet. Or farther still, way, way, way back in time before television. Do you understand millions and millions and millions of people lived and died on this earth who have no idea what snow looks like. You know, if the Lord had said Jesus' garments were white as snow, do you know how many people in Africa would have read that and never had any understanding of it? You know how many people on the equator in South and Central America, what's that? I don't get that. I was preaching in Connecticut. I think I was 38 years old. And I was looking out the window before the service started, and I thought, this is an odd time of the year for that much pollen to be falling out of those trees. And then I thought, it's really odd because they don't even have any leaves on them. And somebody came over and I said, what is that? And they said, that's snow. I'd never seen it before. I had not ever seen snow fall out of the sky. And so I said, can you wait a minute? And we went outside and I stood out there and I saw it snow and it fell on me. And that was enough. I was done. I never need to see it again. I hope I don't, but I saw it. Amen. I have seen quite a bit of it since then, and nobody retires and moves to Buffalo. The snow's so beautiful, really, really. How come as soon as a man gets enough money, he gets away from it? It gets hot where we live. Bet it gets hot here too, but nobody ever hits a patch of heat and slides off the road into a ditch. Why were you late for work? I had to shovel hot out of the driveway. you can have that snow. It's pretty. It's pretty if you can look at it from inside. Get enough of it, you have to look at it from inside. You can't do anything else. Anyway, so no fuller on earth can white them. They used to sell fuller soap back in the day. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered. It's just so funny. Peter answered, nobody's talking to you, Peter, and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, for he wist not what to say. Anybody ever done that? I don't know what to say, so let me blurt out something. It happens to the best of us and the worst of us. But they were sore afraid, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly when they looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, now watch this, please, watch. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Verse 30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. You know something? There are boys and girls here tonight, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, not only do they know that Jesus Christ went to a cross and died to pay for sins, but they believe it. And not only do they know that 3 days and three nights later, Jesus rose from the dead, but they believe it. And because they believe that, they are saved. Because our gospel is, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried, and the third day Jesus rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. These men saw Jesus Christ transfigured into his glory, and they didn't believe that. Come on now. They heard the voice of God speak from heaven, but they didn't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's really something to think about. You can have a mountaintop experience with God, and it doesn't mean you're saved. Now, which would you, come on, tonight, if you could put the word out over North Alabama, South Tennessee, oh, it spread like wildfire. If you could put the word out tonight at Sweet Springs Baptist Church, God's audible voice will be heard. You would have to hire the highway patrol to direct the traffic. There would be people lined up for hours to get in this place to hear the voice of God. But if you advertise tonight, someone is going to tell you that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, you'd be hard-pressed to get one lost person in here in a week. You know what people want? They want the miraculous. They want the supernatural. They want the wow. They want to see something they've never seen before. They want to hear something they've never heard before. But they die in their sins lost because they don't know and believe the gospel. You're better off knowing Christ died and was buried and rose again than you are having some mountaintop experience. Now, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't mind doing it, but I don't want to. I'm not saying this to offend you. I'm saying this because it's so. Yesterday morning, all across the United States of America, people who wanted something from God or wanted a relationship with God got up. I started to say they got up and put on their best clothes, but that's not the church they were going to. They got up and put on what they would wear to the beach, and they went to a big church, and the band started playing, and the lights began to flash on and off and dim at the right times and brighten at the right times, and it was getting kind of wow. And then the people got up and they began to sway, and they swayed to the right and they swayed to the left, and then they began to sing, "He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, I love me too, I love me too, I love me too, he and me love, he and me love." And after about 20 minutes of that, they began to feel tingling all up and down their body. They began to feel warm, fuzzy feeling from their toes to the top of their head. Why? Because it was the first cardio they'd done in months. It's called exercise. It's toxins leaving your body. But they felt something. And then a man came, and some of them got smacked on the head and fell over backwards. And others of them began to jabber in syllables and things like they'd never done before. Now listen, sincere. Trying, seeking God, and something happened in a church that nothing like this has ever happened to me before. It was God. And they went home, and they never heard about Christ dying for their sins, because we don't talk about sins. And they never heard about Christ rising from the dead. They just heard about how much he loves them no matter what they're doing. And they went home feeling great, and they went home having had a mountaintop religious spiritual experience, but not knowing Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're in an independent Baptist church. We're in a King James Bible-believing independent Baptist church. A lot of us, because of personality more than doctrinal belief. I mean, most of you couldn't go to a church with a dance band. You tried to dance once, and you're never going to make that mistake again. So it's not that we're all that conservative. It's just that we know what we can do and what we can't do, and that's one thing we can't do. But you can say we're dull, and you can say we're boring and all that. But listen, when you go to work on Monday morning and people ask you, "What did you do yesterday?" you can say, "I sang, I fellowshipped, I prayed, I read the Bible." There's nothing you did at church that you'd be embarrassed about. How do you go to church the next day and tell people, "While I was crawling around barking like a dog, my wife was passed out on the floor. It was great." I mean, if what happened to you at church on Sunday, you hope your friends and neighbors don't find out about, that's probably the wrong kind of experience. What am I saying? People want to hear God's voice. They want to feel the Spirit. They want to see something that blows their mind. But what good is it if when you come down off that mountain, you don't even know the gospel? Right. What good is it if after that experience, you're not saved? These men had the greatest mountaintop experience in the history of the world, but didn't know Christ was going to die on a cross and didn't believe he's going to rise from the dead. Your Sunday school children are better off than they are. Come to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter 9. We're heading toward the message. We'll get there. Unless the rapture happens. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Don't you like that phrase? You know, there's some things you'll read in the King James Bible, and you won't understand them, but who cares? They just sound great. I like that, white and glistering. Isn't that a good one? I'll tell you a couple I really like. In the book of James, there's a phrase, superfluity of naughtiness. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that is, but it's bad. Superfluity of naughtiness. It's super and it flows and it's naughty. And then there's one in the book of Acts. I like this one. Certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Aren't those great phrases? Last November, you got to pick one or the other. In the orange pants suit, we have superfluity of naughtiness. And with the orange hair, we have a certain lewd fellow of the baser sort. It was a very King James Bible election. I don't want to get into politics, so I'm not going to tell you who I've voted for, but it sure is nice to not get nagged for 4 years. Somebody sent me a picture, and Hillary, he was at one of his rallies, and she was at one of her rallies. Hillary was at one of her rallies, and there were about 100 people out, you know, scattered all around, and she's making a speech. And somebody took a picture from behind her. And in the back of a crowd, there was a guy standing on something holding up a sign, and it said, "Shut up and iron my shirt." He's dead. If he's still alive, I would like to meet him and just... Anyway, better get back to the message here. I hope that didn't offend you. For a number of reasons. I hope that didn't... All right, anyway, so there he is, he's white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Oh, we can't talk about that this week. That's the only death in history. It was an accomplishment. Every other death was a failure. That one was an accomplishment. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy asleep. When they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, they departed from him. Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here." And you know what happened. We read this. And then 35, this my beloved son, hear him. Now come down to your Bible to verse number 46. This is incredible. Just before you read it, let's review. Moses, Elijah, Jesus Christ in his glory. They see the Lord manifest in his glory. They hear God the Father speak from heaven. And on the way down from that mountain, watch this, verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. Are you kidding me? Look, it's bad enough when we argue amongst ourselves and when families compete with other families over who's the most spiritual in the church and who has the straightest, most separated standards. That's bad enough. But you've just been on... Say Jesus wasn't even there. Just put Moses there. You lose, John. Just put Elijah there. James, you're out. They are walking down that mountain with the man who just was transfigured before them. They're walking down the mountain with the man of whom God the Father just spoke and said, "This is my beloved son." And John says, I tell you, honestly, fellas, no offense, I think I'm the greatest. And James said, "Well, you can think it all you want, but it's me. We all know it's me." And Peter said, "Do you not remember that thing that's going to be in Matthew 16? I'm the Pope." Now you talk about long suffering. Jesus Christ is hearing that. He's got to be thinking, I got to start a worldwide church absent and leaving it to these guys?
Right.
What am I trying to say? I hope you go on a mission trip. But instead of coming home blessed, you can come home even more stuck on yourself than you were when you left. Hope God uses you to win souls, but you might just end up breaking your arm, patting yourself on the back for what a great soul winner you are. Hope you go and be a missionary. That doesn't entitle you to a red carpet treatment everywhere you go. Look, serve God. Enjoy serving God. Have great experiences serving God. Be fruitful serving God, but you're not the greatest.
Right.
Not now, not ever. What they saw, better than anything you've ever seen. What they heard, better than anything you ever heard. It did nothing to take any pride out of their heart. They didn't even wait a week until they were back at each other's throat about who's the best. I'm the best follower of Jesus. I'm the best follower of Jesus. How about Jesus?
Right.
All right, one more exhibit, and then we'll get to the message. Verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Now, isn't that good? Jesus is coming. He tells these men, go and preach my coming. Go tell them I'm coming. Go proclaim the news. I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. And they do it. They are obedient disciples. And they go into Samaria and they preach the word of the Lord. They tell the people, get ready. Jesus is coming. 53. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Did you see what just happened there? Hey, good news, good news. Jesus is coming. Jesus, he's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's coming. Jesus, he's coming. You ready? You want him to come? He's coming, right? No, not interested. Lord, kill him. Fire, burn him up. Dead. Just drop them dead right now. So they're obedient enough to go on visitation and knocking on doors. But when the people don't receive their witness at the door, they want them dead. No love, no compassion, no mercy, no patience, no long-suffering, no gentleness, no meekness. Lord, we told them, they didn't hear it, kill them. You know who that is? That's people that saw Jesus in his glory. You know who that is? That's people that heard the voice of God speak from heaven. I'm telling you, I hope you have some great, 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 super experiences in your life. It won't change you. It won't make you into what you're supposed to be. See what happened to these guys? Greatest mountaintop experience in the history of the world, and they're a mess. Now, what did the Father say to them? Moses is there, right? Elijah's there, right? Jesus is there, right? And they said, three tabernacles, and the Father said, no, we're not listening to him. We're not listening to him. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. You know what those men did? They came to Jesus and said, we told him, and they wouldn't hear it. We want you to do what Elijah did. They heard it with their ears, but they didn't hear it with their heart. They heard it with their ears, but they didn't hear it with their understanding. How about that? All right, you ready for the message? Let's have the sermon. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The mountaintop experience did nothing for Peter's self-esteem. It did nothing for their understanding. It did nothing for their faith. It didn't show them their place in the world. They didn't believe in the crucifixion. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They're full of pride, and they have no love for the lost and no control of their emotions. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know who's writing that letter? Peter. You know what he's writing about? When he saw the Lord in his kingly glory, in his majesty as God, he said, I was there, I saw it. Eyewitness. 17. For he received honor from God the Father, received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and this voice we heard. See it? This voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So Peter says, I was there, I saw him with my eyes in his glory. I heard God's voice with my ears. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. What is it? Verse 20, knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture is a private interpretation. Oh, brother, sister, come on. It's short message, easy message, easy message. You know what it's going to take to get you out of that pride and that unbelief and that ego and that misunderstanding? It's going to take some Bible Sunday morning and some Bible Sunday night and some Bible reading on Monday and some Bible preaching on your computer on Monday night and a special meeting on Tuesday, and a midweek service on Wednesday, and a year of reading that Bible, and a year of preaching, and a year of reading that Bible, and a year of preaching. You know what the man said who was on the mountain? He said, I'm better off with the Scriptures than I was standing up there with Jesus in his glory. I'm better off with the Scriptures than I was standing up there hearing God's voice from heaven, because what changed my life, what changed my heart, what opened my understanding was not my mountaintop experience. It was a lifetime with the Scriptures. You know what you need, brother? You need to be in this book every single day. You know what you need, sister? You need to be in this church every time somebody's preaching from that pulpit. You know why? Because seeing something with your eyes and hearing something with your ears is not going to get the job done. It's going to take the Scripture, the Scripture, the Scripture, the Scripture. That's what it's going to take. Now, let me show you something else. I'm not out of line. I'm in the Bible. Look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You believe this Bible, you believe God inspired this book? Okay, here's what he said. On the mountain, back here, he gave the law by Moses, correct? And when the people began to stray from that law, he sent Elijah to kick off the prophetic ministry. So there's the law, there's the prophets. Then Jesus comes. He's the Son of God manifest in the flesh. And God the Father says on that mountain, not Moses, not Elijah, hear him. Correct? Yes. Guess what happened? He died, he was buried, he rose again, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He went away. And he hasn't come back. You can't hear him. You can't follow him. He's not here speaking. He's not here walking. God said, just as sure as he said, Moses, Elijah, now hear my son. He said, Moses, Elijah, my son on earth, now take heed to the Scriptures. Right. Come on, some of you are not sure about that. Okay, let me give you something. 36 years pastoring. Here you go. You ready? Here's a man. The man, he's sitting here, because I don't know one thing that's gone on here since I was here last year. There's a man sitting right here. He knows every verse in the Bible about loving his wife. There's a woman sitting beside him. She knows every verse in the Bible about a right relationship to a husband. They both know all the verses. You can sit down and counsel them. They know what you're going to say before you say it. You can pray with them. They can daydream because they know what you're going to pray. They know all of that. So then why does he have a girlfriend on the side, and why does she have a boyfriend on the side, and why are they sitting in church not feeling guilty and dirty and rotten? Because God spoke to their hearts and gave them peace about it. Because they prayed to the Lord and said, if you don't want me to do this, put up a roadblock. And there wasn't any roadblock. And so I just know that it's God. After all, God told me he just wants me to be happy. You know what the problem is? They think they're hearing the voice of God and they think they're following Jesus, but they won't do what the Scripture says. You know what God said? Mister, it's not time for you to follow Jesus. It's sister, it's not time for you to follow the voice of God. It's time for you to take heed to what I wrote in that book. Right. Now, doesn't the Bible say, be your followers of me as I am also Christ? Yes, it does. But you are told in the Bible exactly where he walked and how to walk. And when people don't want to follow Jesus, they put the Bible away and follow the Jesus that they made up. And you say, well, look what the Bible says. Oh, I know. You're just going to quote Scripture at me, but I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me. You know what God said? You want to stay out of the mess that those two got into? Who are they? You can't even see them. They're so far gone, you can't even see them. You want to stay out of that mess and a thousand others? Stop trying to follow Moses or Elijah or the voice of God or a vision that you saw, and get in that book and find out what God said in that book and do what it says. There are people here tonight who, when they got saved, they did not know that Jesus was superior to Herod or Pilate or the high priest. And they do now. And it didn't come by a vision, and it didn't come by a voice from heaven. It came by reading that book and finding out what God said. Amen. There are people here tonight, and you are saved, and you are pillars in this church. And when you walk through those doors, you didn't have a clue about what happened at Calvary, much less what happened in that garden tomb 3 days and three nights later. And now you teach it and you preach it all over this community. What did that? Not a mountaintop experience. This book, this book, this book, this book, this book. One day I'm going to see Jesus. I won't see him between now and time I die. One day I'll hear the voice of God speaking from heaven. I don't expect to hear it one time before I die. And I don't need either one. I've got something better. Right. Says who? Says the man who had both. Peter had the vision, Peter heard the voice, and Peter had the Scriptures. And he said, take it from me and the Holy Spirit, you're better off with the Scriptures. Because I came down off that mountain as clueless as I was when I went up, but not anymore. You know what you need, brother, sister? I know, sometimes you think it gets dull, sometimes you think it gets, you know, same old thing. Here we go, we go to church, we sing, we shake hands, we have some preaching. I'm going to tell you something. That's the only thing going to change your life is year after year after year after year of this book. Amen. You need to be in a church that preaches and teaches the Bible. If you have some wow moments now and then, bless your heart. Enjoy them. Write them down. Tell the grandkids about them. Talk about them at the fellowship dinner. But you can't live on that, and it won't change your life. This book will. Thank God for the old book. Still love it. Still changing lives, still saving souls, still making carnal men into Christians, still making worldly ladies into great saints. After all these years, it's the book. It's the book that'll get it done.